Wow, what can we say? This is by God's direction. This is the last service in this building, the last one. So I need to start this message with something memorable, obviously. And it's amazing what you can learn, what God can teach you when you're suffocating in your own vomit. We'll remember that as we go out from the last service, right? That was me. 20 years old, I'd come to know Christ in college. I'd lived for him for a few months. I felt like Peter and Paul all put together. I was bold, I was courageous, I couldn't wait to share my faith. I was out there, I was in it. And then I hit the wall. I hit the wall and I went back to my old life. And I started abusing alcohol again and smoking dope and running around and being very risky, sexually immoral and all the rest of it. Just boom, just like that. Of course, the Lord wasn't going to allow that to happen for very long. One night, a friend of mine and I were down at the beach, and we were smoking the dope and abusing the alcohol, and we went to a restaurant to eat because we were very hungry, and while I was sitting at the restaurant table, I started to feel this, like, volcano starting in me. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And I ran out the back, and I fell down in the gravel. And I began to vomit so violently that literally as I lay there, I thought I was going to suffocate in my vomit. Literally. I cried out to God, Lord, please save me, you know? Like, don't let me die here in my vomit in the parking lot. And I repented, even though I couldn't say a word. The Lord knew what I was thinking in my mind, right? And by his grace, I didn't die. And yet that was a wake-up call. That's when I began to ponder the question, to be or not to be, whether I'm going to be like Jesus or not, whether I believe that God has called me to be like Jesus Christ or not. I had to begin to answer that question that night. You see, in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus said that's what he wants more than anything for believers, is to be like him. He said to them, a disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. So he's saying to me, saying to us, we're not greater than he is. But once he disciples us, and that root of that word is to learn, as we learn as his students, in a sense, his disciples. As he disciples us, we become more like him. That's the purpose, right, that we have as Christians. And I began to learn that in that parking lot, that this was not the way I was supposed to represent Christ, right? And so I was convicted by that, and I began to walk with him again at that point. Notice over in Romans also, Romans chapter 8, this whole amazing idea that God wants us to become more like Jesus as the focus of our life as Christians. Listen to this language. Verse 28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. You see that? Those whom he has foreknown in eternity past, he is also predestined in eternity past to what? To be conformed to the image of his son, to become like his son. So predestination, biblically, is when God says every believer will become like Jesus. That's predestination. We've been predestinated to Christ-likeness. That's the whole idea, amen? That's what God decided in eternity past, and in present time, space, and history, he's bringing it to fulfillment, it says. For those whom he called, he justified, and those whom he justified, he glorified. So the Lord is going to continue this process of Christ-likeness until we stand before him and we're glorified before him. Amen? That's the purpose. That's the great scheme of predestination, is that for you and I to be more like Jesus. So the question is, Have we become more like Jesus while we've been worshiping him in this building? The answer may be yes, the answer may be no. Worshiping in a church service or saying a prayer, reading the Bible, doesn't grow us in Christ. We need to worship and pray and study the Bible, but we can do that and not grow in our faith. We can just go through the motions, right? It can be ritualistic, right? It can be legalistic even. What we need to do is to grow in Christ. That means the worship needs to be real. The time in the scriptures needs to be real. The prayer needs to be real. Amen? If we're going to become like Jesus Christ. So that's the goal here and at Hunter College. It's the same, to be or not to be. Amen? Then I look at my life, you look at yours. How much progress am I making, right? I'm not the best evaluator of that. Ask my wife, right? Ask the people I work with on my staff or were on my staff and now still brothers and close. Ask them, right? Ask the people that know me the best, am I making progress? Well, ask the people that know you best. Or have we been sitting in a pew a long time and even getting in the scriptures and even offering prayers and we don't see any changes, right? We believe the right stuff. I believe the Orthodox Creed. I believe all of it. And I try to do the right things. Try to behave the right way, don't you? I didn't used to, as you heard from that story, but I try to now. So I believe the right things, I behave the right way. Can I do that and not even be a believer? Of course. Of course. Can I be a professing Christian and believe and behave and not be growing in my faith at all? Absolutely. The only evidence of life is growth. The only evidence that I have that I am truly trying to follow Christ is that my life is changing for the better. I'm being transformed. Too often in the evangelical church, we don't stress that at all. We don't hold each other accountable at all. You know, you're in church, you know, you're giving to the church, you know, you're involved in a ministry, you're fine. Not if we're not growing, we're not. Amen? I look at myself, to be or not to be. Right here, to be like Christ, right? So I say, Lord, I want to be more like Christ. I want to be. What do I do? I mean, Christ is perfect, right? What am I supposed to do? Try to be perfect? How do I become more like Christ? The Lord says it's profound, but it's simple. You need to see God. You see, I need to see God. The Lord says, you need to experience me, to encounter me in everything you do. And the moment you encounter me, you will be changed. He says, you cannot encounter me, the living God, and remain unchanged. Amen? So if I'm going to become more like Christ in this service, I have to encounter God in this service. It's the only way. I want you to see that. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. What a great passage of scripture. Let me get there. 1 John 3. I want you to look at verse 1, 2, and 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called what? Children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we shall be has not yet appeared. But notice, but we know one thing. We know that when he appears, we shall be, what does it say? We'll be like him. Why? Because we shall see him as he is. The Lord says, one day we will truly be like Christ for one reason. We will see him as he is. There's a causality. See him, become like him. Encounter God, become like Christ, right? Experience God, become like Christ. Be conformed more and more to his image. That's what the scripture teaches. It doesn't teach that every time I come to a worship service, I'm going to encounter God. It means when I come to a worship service, I need to want to encounter God. I need to pray to encounter God. When I preach, it doesn't mean I'm going to encounter God. I have to preach saying, Lord, as I share, let me encounter you. Because when that happens, I'll be changed and so will you. Now we can say, but that's the end. That's at the end. That's when we're finished with this life. We see him, you know, at the end. And I'm living now. You know what I mean? I'm living now. So I can't do 1 John 3:2 right now, right? So what do I do? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The Lord always has an answer in his word. Amen? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 16. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. That is, those who don't have the veil in the argument are believers. Amen? So when the veil remains over us, we are confused about how we come to know Christ, confused about grace. But when the veil is removed because we believe Christ, we're no longer blinded by that, right? Now we know it's grace through faith. Amen? So it says... Now, in verse 16, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So it's talking about the ministry of the Spirit. And we all, with what? Unveiled face, that is, believers. We all as believers. Beholding the, what does it say? The glory of the Lord. Beholding the glory of the Lord. We are being what? Transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is engaged in allowing us to see the glory of God. And in seeing the glory of God, God is transforming us. That word actually in biblical Greek is the word for metamorphosis. We are being metamorphosized, you might say. Fundamentally and totally changed, amen? And why is that? Because we're beholding the glory of the Lord. So when I hear the music, and God in his grace allows me to see his glory in that music, I'm changed, amen? When somebody says a prayer, and I experience God's presence in that prayer, I'm changed. When I see you expressing the joy of the Lord, showing the love of the Lord, seeing God in you, I'm changed. Amen? So on 57th Street or on East 68th Street, all that matters is you and I are called to be like Jesus. That's the greatest witness of all. To be like Jesus only by encountering God. There's no other way. There's no other way. Encountering God, and we need to pray for that. We need to seek God for that, for our young people, for all of us, amen? To encounter God is to be changed. No other way, but that's enough. That's enough. Another word about my testimony. Once the Lord got me up from the gravel, cleaned me up a little bit, I started walking with him better. And then I started sliding again. You know, victory, defeat, victory, defeat. Terrible cycle. So another time, I'm down at the beach where smoking dope and drinking, and my friend and I, who's not a believer, quite a witness I had to him, we meet two beautiful girls, and we invite them back to our place, and they say, sure, and we say, yes! Well, we didn't say it out loud. But you know. So we all get back there, and the marijuana's being passed around, and I heard a voice say, no, I don't smoke that anymore. And I actually looked around to see who said it. And it was me. I said. And I thought, wow, I just said no to dope. And then my friend Pete and one of the girls disappeared down to the beach, and I'm left alone with this other very beautiful girl. And David is saying, go for the gusto, bro. And the Spirit of God is saying, honor me, bro. And you talk about a titanic battle, right? This was it, man. This was it. And I finally, by God's grace, said to this girl, I'm really sorry that I've got you in this situation tonight. I said, there's something I got to tell you. I'm a Christian. And she started crying. I mean, she started weeping, wailing. And I thought, dear God, I finally did the right thing. Now I'm going to jail for the rest of my life. And she said, Dave, she said, I'm a Christian too. I haven't been living for the Lord either. Wow. I'm telling you what, we sat and talked all night long about Jesus Christ. It gave a whole new meaning to the song all night long, believe me. We sat and talked about Jesus all night long. And you know what we did that night? We encountered God. God was right there. It was awesome. And she and I, became more like Jesus that night. Because the Lord says, when you meet me, you'll be changed. You meet me, you'll be changed. In the worst circumstances, amen? Glory to God. So to see him or not to see him, that's the answer. Amen? So Lord, how can I encounter you? I mean, do I just sort of wait for you to occasionally reveal yourself? Is there anything I can do to experience you? Because you've told me to experience you means to become like you. And so let me experience you more because I want to grow more. And the Lord says there's a secret to that. To obey or not to obey. That's the secret. You want more of me, the Lord says? Give me obedience. Amen? Look back at John 14 for a moment. John 14. What a tremendous, powerful truth here. He says in verse 21, Jesus does to his disciples and to us, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he or she, it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Do you see that? Excuse me. My voice has gotten a little tired. It's been a wonderful day, but I am getting older now. I'm almost 95. So. Jesus also said in verse 3, if anyone loves me, he or she keeps my word, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. My beautiful wife, Sandy, I call her Vanna because she assists me all the time. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. You see that? Verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he or she who loves me. You see that? What he says is, the way we love God is to obey him. To obey him. That's the way we love him, right? It's the only way to love God is to obey him, respect him, honor him. He says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I always wonder about this verse because Jesus could have said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he loves me. And then gone right down to the end of the next verse and said, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. But he also says, he intercedes with that part that says, that one will be loved by my Father, and then I will love him, right? And so you wonder, why did he also bring the Father's love into this, right? And then, of course, I thought about my own children, how much we love them and our grandchildren. And I think to myself, you know, even if I didn't like somebody, but they loved my kids, I would love them, you know? Like Jesus said, you know, if you obey me, you love me. And my Father will see this, you know, because he loves me. I say it this reverently, I'm his kid. And because he loves the way we love his son, he says he'll reveal himself. And it's through obedience that we show that love. Amen? So the Lord says, if you want to meet me more often, obey me more often. It always works. Amen? So to obey or not to obey, that's the secret. The secret to encountering God, which is the secret to becoming like Christ, right? Praise God. I've seen this often in my wife. Amazing, the most amazing person that I've ever known in my life. Actually, the first time I met her, the first night in college, I sat down. You know how college can be your first night. You know, there's all the people around you, and nobody's really talking to you. And she comes right up to me, and she says, "Hi, I'm Sandy." Just like that. First night, I'm 20 years old or whatever it was. I was a late bloomer. And I looked at her, and I was tongue-tied. I didn't know what to say. All I could think was, have mercy. It's the only thing I was thinking, have mercy. Oh, my God. She had me from hello. And she is the most wonderful person that I have ever known. We got a call when we were living in Maryland, and I was teaching as an academic in college for a long time. And her mom, Marge, had passed away suddenly, 51 years old. And my beautiful wife, Sandy, loved her mom. I'm telling you, loved her mom. And her mom was the most wonderful person. And her dad, Ralph, was a mean, abusive drunk. And Sandy and her sister and her brothers were abused by their father. And so God says, you know what? I'm going to take Marge, and I'm going to let Ralph stay with you. Right? But, Sandy, I want you to go, and I want you to sing at your mother's funeral. Sing, praise me, and glorify me. Even though I took her, and I left the vicious, mean, abusive drunk. I tell you, my wife was crying. Wow. To obey or not to obey, that is the secret. Of course, I loved on her and encouraged her and was there for her, but this was her battle. And she said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Remember that song? Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord. I will go. I will honor you. I will love my dad. And I will glorify your name. And she did. And that entire time up there was an encounter with God. Because of obedience. Amen. To obey or not to obey, that is the secret. Glory to God. So we'll say then, Lord, if obedience is the key to encountering you, and encountering you is the key to becoming like Jesus, then obviously, what can I do to encourage my obedience, right? What can I do to encourage obedience? Because that leads to experiencing God. And the Lord says, to meditate or not to meditate, that's the bottom line. You want to be more faithful in obedience? You need to meditate. Meditate. Let me show you what I mean. Look at Joshua chapter 1 in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 1. This is very, very powerful. Joshua chapter 1. Remember, Joshua had just taken over for Moses, who had led the nation 40 years. But had not led them into the promised land. And God took Moses home, and Joshua now has got the mantle of leadership to take the people of Israel into the promised land, meaning they were going to have to defeat one army after the other, after the other, after the other, in order to possess the land. And this was going to take faith and courage, and it was going to take leadership like Joshua. And so I'm sure Joshua's thinking, Lord, strengthen me, have mercy on me. And we read in chapter 1, verse 8 of Joshua, God says to him, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's look at that verse a little more carefully. This book of the law is talking about the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses, right? The only ones they had at that point. The Torah, the law. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall what? Meditate on it day and night. That is, you shall eat it, basically, right? It should not depart from your mouth. You shall chew it, right? And you shall swallow it, and it should become part of you, basically. Why? So that you may be careful to do what? According to all that is written in it. The key is to meditate. To meditate. Not to, in a cursory manner, grab the Bible for 3 minutes and then start your day. It's to chew on it, to meditate on it, to think about it, to get into it, to let it change you. We each have different schedules, and so we can't all do it the same way. But if we're not making time every day to hear from God in His Word, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes of truly waiting on God in His Word, it's not always the length of time, it's the quality of the time. If we're not doing that, then we're not going to obey very much. And if we don't obey very much, we certainly aren't going to encounter God very much. And if we don't encounter God very much, we certainly aren't going to become like Jesus very much. Amen? So it's time with God in His Word and truly meeting God in His Word. Seeking God in His Word. Not doing something sort of rote or checking a list or something. Because we can be in the Word and even teach the Word and never really let the Word lead us to obedience sometimes. My early life as a believer, I was given the great honor of teaching the Word for one of my professors who was taking the summer for a sabbatical, and he asked me if I would go from D.C. down to Norfolk, Virginia, once a week and teach the Word of God to these people. And I'm thinking, man, I'm just in a first year in college now, right? And I'm studying the Word. I'm thinking, whoa, that's amazing. So I get in my car once a week and I drive 3 hours down to Norfolk, Virginia. And I would get out and I would teach. And I was teaching through the book of James. And one day I pulled up in front of the little church and I jumped out. And I saw this old man who lived in the house right next to the church. I saw him sitting on his porch and sort of rocking back and forth, drinking milk out of a paper bag. Just kidding. He was drinking like wild turkey or something. I'm not sure what it was. Whatever it wasn't good. And as he was drinking, he was getting more and more ill. And as he got ill, he started rolling down the stairs and he just collapsed on the sidewalk. Vomit and everything. And the Lord said to me, David, go help that guy. Go help him. And I said, Lord, I've only got one sports jacket. That's what I said. I've only got this. The Lord said, go help him. I didn't help him. I walked right by him. And I went in and I opened the word. The teacher was here. And you know the irony of it? I was teaching the passage which said, faith without works is dead. So we can get in it. We can even teach it. Actually, I thought I taught pretty good that night. You would have been impressed, I think. You'd have been impressed. And you know what happened that night? I didn't obey God. I didn't experience God. I didn't become like Christ. Actually, I regressed because faith without works is dead. If I'm truly being changed, I would have helped him. Amen? So, the reason I share this tonight is because we're going to Hunter College. But this very same question, answer, secret, and bottom line that we're saying for the last time here will guide us for the first time there. Amen. It's always what it's about. Becoming, 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 becoming. Encountering, encountering, encountering. Obeying, obeying, obeying. Meditating, meditating, meditating on the word. Obeying God, experiencing God, becoming like Christ. Amen? So I thought this might be a good way to end it here tonight. God's grace, amen? Making us more like him. And he'll continue that at Hunter College. And we look forward to that. No, we don't look forward to that because it gets painful. But we do look forward to it because it makes us like Christ. So glory to God, everyone. We've had quite a run here. God's had quite a run with us here. So we glorify him, we believe him, we trust him, and now the church has left the building. Let's go be the church.